Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 12. Hear now the word of our Lord. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." This is the word of God. May it find its way into our hearts and lives this morning by the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen. We're this close. I'm going to apologize to you twice today because this sermon is a rerun of one I did at Grant back in the summer. Sometimes you do a rerun because you've had a really busy week and you just, you know. But other times you preached on a topic or on a passage and you just think to yourself, I can't do better than I did before, so I'm just going to do it again. And so that's what I'm doing this morning. And the topic is forgiveness. Today we're going to talk about forgiveness. How do we forgive? Who do we forgive? The relationship between our forgiveness of others and God's forgiveness of us. We're talking about forgiveness. Now, that is about the lamest way to start a sermon, right? Usually I start with some kind of story. I kind of pull you in, kind of hook you, and then kind of come in sideways a little bit. But I wanted to state the topic right off the top because I wanted to capture your reaction. How did you feel when you heard that word forgiveness like 8 times in a couple of sentences? Your heart start to race a little bit. You start to tense up a little bit. If you had the presence of mind to sort of scroll through the Lord's Prayer and figure out that we were going to be on forgiveness this morning, would you have stayed home? Right? Maybe that's what happened. Looking around. See, I think for a lot of us, forgiveness has a face. Right? It's not theoretical. It's not abstract. When we begin to talk about forgiveness in church, there's a face that comes to our minds, right? The face of that one person that we're still struggling with, that one person that we're still holding on to, and we have trouble when this word comes up because we know what we're supposed to do, and we just can't bring ourselves to do it. And so all this talk of forgive us as we forgive others, that's dangerous and scary, and we would rather the preacher talk about something else. Because there's that face that makes our heart beat faster, that makes our blood pressure rise just a little bit, that puts that bitter taste in our mouth. Makes forgiveness hard. Does forgiveness have a face for you this morning? A couple of weeks ago, I said our Father might be the hardest part of the prayer for some people. Someone approached me and said, thy kingdom come is actually the hardest part for me. But I'm guessing for some of us, it's today. It's forgive us if we forgive others. That might be the hard part for some of us. It's the only part of the prayer that Jesus felt the need to explain. If you go on and read a couple of verses, this is the part Jesus circles back to and highlights and underlines for us and says, because if you don't forgive others their sins when they sin against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your sins. It's hard. It's not one of those hard teachings because it's complicated. It's not one of those things like the Trinity that we have trouble understanding. It's hard to live and do. It'd be fine if it were all theoretical, but there's that face. Forgiveness has a face this morning. And I think the other reason we find forgiveness difficult is that we're not exactly sure what it is we're being asked to do, right? If you sort of ask people for definitions of what forgiveness is and what it means, they might sort of be all over the map, right? What exactly are we being asked to do when we forgive? The world's definition of forgiveness, the one that I've used with my own kids, I'm sure you've used it before. Forgive and forget. Has anyone ever said forgive and forget? That's actually not a very biblical idea. When you flip through the Bible, you know, whenever there's teachings on forgiveness, you don't see anything about forgetting, right? Forgive and forget is sort of a way of saying forgive and then go on pretending it didn't happen, right? Forgive and make believe. Forgive and stay in sort of a state of denial, right? Forgive and let everything just sort of proceed like it didn't happen. And maybe sometimes that's possible, right? In the easier cases, at least, right? But oftentimes, people in our lives have wounded us in such a way that the forget part is not possible. The thing that we have to forgive has so imprinted us, has so shaped us who we are, that it's not as simple as just, you know, feigning some sort of amnesia about the whole thing. Forgive and forget is often used as a weapon against people who are abused or otherwise oppressed. Then just forget. Just go back home. Just endure your suffering. Forgive and forget. As a way of saying, let the person be free of the consequences of their actions. Suffer the indignity over and over and over again and do nothing to protect yourself. Sometimes you have to forgive and set boundaries. Sometimes you have to forgive and if the other person is willing, is making effort, sometimes you forgive and reconcile. Sometimes you forgive and make a clean break because that's the best thing for you. Rarely are you ever able to forgive and forget. And so what happens is, because we think this is the expectation of us, every time that face, you know, that sort of that bubbles up, you know, we just stuff it back down in there, don't we? Because we think that's what's being asked of us, right? That forgiveness is somehow about, it's just every time that face shows up, just stuff it back down in there. And forget it and pretend it's not going on and pretend you're not hurt and you're not wounded and you're not shaped like a thing that needs forgiveness. The biblical idea of forgiveness, the word that is translated as forgive in this prayer is a word called aphiemi. And aphemi means release, right? Like releasing someone from prison. It's aphemi. There's a scene in the Gospels where Jesus has just multiplied the loaves and the fishes, and the crowds heard his teaching, and so he lets them go home, right? It says he releases the crowds, right? That's aphemi. Aphemi is like when Jesus went to his hometown, and he unrolled the scroll of Isaiah, and read out loud there in the scroll of Isaiah, "I have come to proclaim release to the captives." It's that word, aphemi, release to the captives, right? Forgiveness is about releasing the person from the cage of your heart. See, each of us in our hearts, we have this little cage where we keep the people, right? And as long as they're in that cage, we can sort of open the cage every now and then, pull them out, shake them and look at them, and then stuff them back in that cage again, right? We can keep our list of the wrongs and keep track of it and recite it daily to the person in that cage because they're held captive. They live rent free in our hearts and in our heads. And the true meaning of forgiveness is to release that person from the prison of your heart. To say, "I'm no longer going to be controlled or defined by this. You're free to go. I'll always remember, but I'm not holding on to you." That's forgiveness. That's aphemi. Now, Peter was there in the crowd that day for the Sermon on the Mount, right? He had a front row seat. He heard this prayer, right? He was taught this prayer. He had been praying this prayer every day. "Release us from our sins as we release those who have sinned against us." Couple chapters later, about Matthew 11, he taps Jesus on his shoulder and says, "Teacher, what about this? How many times, right? How many times should I forgive the person that sinned against me? How about 7? Good biblical number, right? 7 times? And remember what Jesus says? Not 7 times, but 7 times 7 times, or 77 times. That's a lot of times, and I think Jesus was actually using hyperbole. I think he was actually just saying, never stop doing it. Just make it a habit of releasing your brother and your sister from your heart. And Jesus, Peter was staring at Jesus the way y'all are staring at me right now. You don't mean that, right? And so, Jesus told a story. It's a story about a man named Bob. Now, in the story, he doesn't have a name, right? He's just called the servant, but he's got another servant, and it gets kind of confusing, and so I've given them names, right? The story about a man named Bob. And Bob is the servant of the king. And one day, the king is settling his accounts. And as he's settling his accounts, he's going through his ledger book, seeing who owes him money, and he comes across Bob's name and discovers that Bob owes him 10,000 talents, right? That is a lot of money. I'm not sure you're picking. This is a lot of money. Here's how much money this is. For the Greeks, the talent was the largest denomination of money they could think of, right? That was the largest weight of gold, was a talent. For the Greeks, 10,000 was the largest number they could think of, right? Because their numbers were done by letters, and so there's only so far they could go. 10,000 was the largest number they could think of. So it's the largest number of the largest amount of money they could think of, right? 10,000 talents was more than any single kingdom in the ancient world had in circulation at one time. This is no small sum of money. This is a zillion, trillion, billion dollars and 50 cents. Right? This is an astronomical sum of money. And it would be no small thing to forgive it. Right? Right? The kingdom, if he were to recoup this money, I mean, the whole kingdom would feel it, right? So he has Bob brought in. The day has come, Bob. Time to pay up. Now, we don't know why Bob owes all of this money, right? We don't know whether he's been begging on camel races. We don't know whether he has the king's credit card and he's just been swiping it left and right. Maybe he took his kids to Disney World. We don't know, right? We just know that he owes a zillion, billion, trillion dollars and 50 cents. And the day has come, is due. And Bob, realizing he can't pay it back, falls to his knees. He says, "Be patient with me, and I will pay back everything I owe you." Think about that for a second. That is an empty promise if I have ever heard one. How in the world is Bob going to come up with this sum of money? How in the world is he going to pay the king back? Is he selling Avon on the side? He got to have some kind of hustle, wouldn't he? Is the Powerball up to a zillion, billion, trillion dollars and 50 cents? Where is he going? Bob is just buying himself another day of time, isn't he? Be patient with me, and I'll pay back everything. And something miraculous happened. The king's anger turns into compassion. Staring Bob in the face, he looks so pitiful. Looking into his eyes, he sees Bob's wife and Bob's kids and realizes that if he throws Bob in a debtor's prison, that they're going to be without a husband and a daddy. And the king just finds it in his heart to forgive the debt. The king ends the day a billion, zillion, trillion dollars and 50 cents in the red. He's never going to ask for it. The debt is forgiven. You know what this story is really about, right? Me, you, us, we're all Bob. All of us. All of us have a debt of sin we could never repay. A zillion, billion, trillion little slights against God that we could never, never do enough good deeds to sort of get ourselves out of. We are dead in our trespasses. And God forgave the debt. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it. White as snow. You and I are free. Free to do what? So Bob walks out of the throne room just as quickly he can walk out of the throne room, right? Before the king changes his mind. He doesn't even make eye contact with those guards with the funny little, you know, as he's walking through the hall. He just wants to get home as quickly as possible. And then he passes by Steve, right? And when he sees Steve and Steve's stupid little face and Steve's stupid little grin on his stupid little face, his blood begins to boil. Because, see, Steve owes Bob 100 denarii, right? Now, that's adjusted for inflation, you know, in today's numbers. That's about $4,000, right? Not nothing, right? That's the story we want, like a billion, zillion, trillion dollars versus a penny or something like that. But that's not the story. This is real money, real money that would make a difference in Bob's life. And Steve borrowed it at some point and never gave it back. And Bob's mad at Steve. And he thinks to himself, here I was before the king on my knees sobbing, needing to give the king something. I had nothing, and here Steve has got all my money. Begins to burn. His heart begins to race. He feels that bitter taste. Then he pulls Steve aside. He begins to shake him, begins to choke him. Says, pay me back everything you owe me. You know what Steve does? The exact same thing Bob did just seconds ago. Same words even. He drops to his knees and he says, be patient with me, and I'll pay you back everything I owe you. Only Bob's not patient. Bob has Steve thrown in the debtor's prison. Now here's the thing about debtor's prison. The only way you get out of debtor's prison is by paying the debt. Only while you're in prison, you can't work. And so you're basically at the mercy of your friends and families to pay the debt for you. He throws Steve into the debtor's prison, knowing there is going to be no way for Steve to ever get himself out. You know what this story is really about, don't you? We're Bob, but that face of forgiveness, that's Steve, sitting in the prison of our hearts, and there's no way they can get themselves out. You need to hear this. There is nothing they can do to undo what has been done. There is nothing they can say to unsay what has been said. The scars have been left. Short of a flux capacitor and a DeLorean, there is nothing they can do to get themselves out of that prison. It's up to you. It's your choice whether they languish there or go free. Now, Steve has co-workers. And when the co-workers find out what has happened to Steve, they're upset and they say they run and they go tell the king. Can you believe this? Bob just thrown Steve in prison. And the king, in all of his mercy, he had forgiven Bob. But he didn't forget. He says, bring him before me. Has Bob brought before him. You wicked servant, he says. I forgave you an astronomical debt. I forgave you a debt that you couldn't possibly repay. I went in the red for you, a zillion, billion, trillion dollars and 50 cents. I released you from that. Shouldn't have you released your fellow servant, Steve? Know what this story is about, right? We're Bob. That face, that's Steve. Here is the truth. It's not forgive and forget. It's remember and forgive. See, Bob's problems, he forgot what had been done for him. Bob's problems, he forgot the mercy of the king. It's remember and forgive. It's remember that we were dead in our trespasses. It's remember that we had accrued an astronomical debt. And the king set us free. What if that was the face you thought of when you thought of forgiveness? Face of the King. You know the face I'm talking about? A crown of thorns, rivers of blood dripping from his forehead to his cheeks. There's a beard with pieces missing. A tongue parched and swollen with thirst. From the cross he whispers, "Father, release them. They know not what they do." It's not forgive and forget. It's remember. Remember and forgive. Remember that you have been released. Remember that by His grace alone, you are free. The debt is paid. Remember. Free to do what? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.